Today's daf is daf Yud in Bracha. However, unfortunately, we only got yet up to yesterday Tet Amud Beit, and I believe. Yes. Okay. Great. So three lines up from the long lines. Echi Matzi Samich. So yesterday we learned of the importance of Simichut Geula L'Tfila. And the idea over here is that there were two issues, actually. Svichut Gula, the Tfilah, and also the Zman of Tfilah, which is now connected to Zman Kriyat Shema, when we talk about Vatikin. Because the Vatikin are Mithpalel right at Netzach Hama. And so the Eitzah that the Gemara has is to put off Kriyat Shema until the end of the period between Alot HaShachar and Netzach Hama, and say it right before sunrise, so that as you say the bracha of Gaal Yisrael, you're now ready to begin with the tefillah. The Rashi brings elsewhere, Yerushalmi, that's Masbir, that the concept of the geula, the way that it's brought here with Kriyat Shema, is that it's basically Shevach v'Hodaya on the geulah. He's back. On geulah Mitzrayim. On Gulat Mitzray, and somebody who's not Masmich Gulat Tfilah, I think this is open. Not Masmich Gulat Tfilah is Lamaha Davar Domeh. Somebody knocks on the door of a Melech, gets the Melech up, and the Melech comes, and then when he opens the door, there's nobody there. So too, the Hachona for the Tfilah is basically Kriyat Shema Birchotea, to be involved in recognition of the Tova that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us in Geula. So then that's the fundamental time in which a person can daven. If he doesn't make preparations, he's talking to a closed door, and if he walks away after the Geula, he's walking away before the door opens. So therefore, we now need to come to the issue, which actually we've raised before, as to how it's possible to do a smichut, a Geula, the Tefillah, considering that the extensions of the Geula, in terms of the bracha of Hashkivenu at night, or the extensions of the tefillah, in terms of the Hashem Svatai Tiftach, seem to make it impossible to actually ever do a geula l'tefillah. So asks the Gemara today, three lines above the big lines, Hechi Motzi Samech, but how is it possible to do Semichut geula l'tefillah? Om Rabbi Yochanan, Batechilahu Omer Hashem Svatai Tiftach, before beginning Shmoneh Esrei, a person should say Hashem Svatai Tiftach, and upon conclusion of the Brichot Shmoneh Esrei, he should say Yihyu L'Ratzon Yimleh Pi. Well, says Rebbe Elazar, I guess that Rabbi Yochanan only meant to do that b'tefillah shel arvit. We should do that at nighttime, and that way, in the day when Smichut Geula, the tefillah is important, you don't say Hashem Svatai Tiftach. Wait, that's impossible. It was Rabbi Yochanan himself who said that you need to be Somech Gula L'Tfila for Arvit as well. So how could he, what difference would it have made? Even if Rabbi Yochanan suggests the Amira of Hashem Svatai Tiftach only b'Arvit, it would violate his own halacha. V'yom Rabbi Yochanan, Zeh Ben Olam Haba, Zeh HaSomech Gula Shel Arvit L'Tfila Shel Arvit. So you haven't answered anything. When do you say Hashem Svatai Tiftach? You can't say it in the morning, you can't say it in the evening, because otherwise you can't do Smichut Geula L'Tfilah. Elam HaReb Elazar, you know what? You could say it at Mincha. Say it at Tfilat HaMincha, because there's no Geula. So you don't lose anything by saying Hashem Svatai Tiftach. As a matter of fact, we have, some people have that minhag to say Kishem Hashem Ekra, V'gol Eloheinu, which of course is only said by Mincha for precisely this reason. Anywhere else it would be a hafsek between the Shmoneh Esrei and the Birchot Kriyat Shema. Rav Ashi says the whole thing is really not a problem at all, because afilu tema akul, who actually could say Hashem Svatai Tiftach on all of your tefillot, because v'kivan dekavu harabanan ba tefillah ketefillah richta damya. Once the Rabbanan were koveyat, has an introduction to tefillah that's built into every tefillah, it becomes simply an extension of tefillah, and now is like the beginning of tefillah. So now it means if you say Gaal Yisrael, as soon as you open the words Hashem Svatai Tiftach, you're already beginning your tefillah, and that is Smichut Geula L'Tfilah. It's not considered to be a hefsek, in the same way that other things are not considered to be a chatzitza, that's between a thing itself and an extension. So too in terms of hefsek, in time it's not considered to be a hefsek. The ilotema hachi, if you don't believe that that reasoning is true, that an extension of an existing bracha or tefillah is viewed as part of it, so arvit hechi matzi samech. Then by definition, you could never do smichuta tefillah when it comes to arvit, because habay lemeimer hashkivenu. You're always going to have to say hashkivenu because that's part of birchot kriyat shema. And therefore, you're never going to be able, after you say Baruch Atah Hashem Galang Yisrael, you're never going to be able to say Baruch Atah Hashem for Shmoneh Esrei, you're going to have to say Ashkivenu. So clearly, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's an inyan of Smichut Geula L'Tefillah Be'Arvit, it's got to be explained by the fact, Ella, Kevan Detakinu Rabbanan Hashkivenu, we view Hashkivenu as basically an extension of the idea of Geula, so we have the overall Baruch Atah Hashem Galang Yisrael, and then at the end, we have the Yeshuat Yisrael, Midei Mazikim, Midei Tzaront, and so on and so much. Extends even to an individual person upon his bed, actually. We could see from the way in which we change the bracha of Arvit when it comes to Shabbos, that's the concept, because there we talk about the Shechina being porus over Yerushalayim, and that, I mean, so it's an extension of the idea of Geula, ultimately. It's still not the bracha of Geula, it's Baruch Atah Hashem Galang Yisrael. Okay, so you're right in the same way of saying that Hashem Svatai Kiftach is not precisely the bracha of Elokeinu V'Elokei Avoteinu, but in Okinami, it's an extension of that idea. Says Rav Ashi, I mean, it's clear that the concept is correct. And if it's correct in Arvit, why shouldn't it be correct all around? But since it's Rabbi Yochanan who says the idea of Hashem Svatai Kiftach, and it's Rabbi Yochanan who says the Chiyav of Gula, Smirchas Gula the Tvila Ba'arvit, I think it's stretching it a bit to say the only time he said Hashem Svatai Tiftach is in Mincha. Mirte. Says the Gemara, but how about the other part? I mean, we've been talking about the Hashem Svatai Tiftach. The words Yula Ratzon Imrei Fi, I mean, does that necessarily mean that when a person finishes, the way Rabbi Yochanan says, when he finishes his Tvila, he should now look back, so to speak, and say, may God accept the words that I have just spoken. Why can't it be a tefillah? Yula ratzon imrei pi, may God accept the words I am about to speak. That makes just as much sense. And so why, if we are going anyway, we're going to be koveya, Hashem svatai tiftach at the beginning of the tefillah, why shouldn't we already say this tefillah, yula ratzon imrei pi, so that we open up our mouths to begin tefillah with a bakasha, that there should be a zman of Kabbalah tefillah? Who's to say it comes afterwards? So michte, look, I mean, look at it. This word yula ratzon imrei fi, I mean, there's two ways to read it. Mashmala besof. But it's also mashmala ikara. In other words, from the beginning, to be'ina lememer. What I would like to say now, I'm asking you to accept. So my taima taknuhu rabbanan li achar shmona asre brachot. Lemer me ikara. Why would the rabbanan mitakein Hashem svatai tiftach only at the end of shmona asre, the way Rabbi Yochanan says? Ah, om Rabbi Yudabrei, the Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Ho'il velo amro David ela la'achar shmona asrei parshiyot. This again, you have to know that the Gemara is organized on many, many different levels. So what appears to be a constant tangent that we go off on is always very well planned. There's always a segue to the tangent. We're about to go off on a long tangent of understanding David's relationship to Sefer Tehillim and the things that it's meramis to, and very broad connections between Tehillim and the ideas that are embedded in Kriyat Shema and Emunah in general. The segue to Tehillim, you notice that the entire Daf Dalet was basically dedicated to David. All of the elements of Chatzot were triggered by the involvement of David in Chatzot, which itself was Benogea, his poetry, which was Sefer Tehillim, which at the beginning of Chatzot. So the transition now from this Yula Ratzon Imrei Fi, which was said by David, all of a sudden makes its way, breaks out into the world of Tefillah that we're talking about, and it turns out that we're going to say something that on the surface appears exceedingly strange, and which turns out to be a trigger for a broad discussion of various elements of Tehillim. So Omer Avieta Bereda Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, הועיל ולא אמרו דוד אלא לאחר 18 פרשיות, לפיכך תקנו רבנן לאחר 18 ברכות. Since we find the words Yul Ratzon Imre Fi at the end of the 18th Tehillah, therefore we should say it also at the end of the 18th Bracha. Wait a minute. We don't find it at the end of the 18th Tehillah. We find it at the end of the 19th Tehillah. So that's strange. Of course, it's also strange at the 18th Bracha, actually the 19th Bracha, but we won't talk about that right now. Right? So, Ashrei Ha'ish, the Lama Rakshu Goyim Chada Parashahi. In fact, what we have as numbers 1 and 2 in Sefer Tehillim is actually 1a and 1b. Because the first Tehillah is meant to be to extend from Ashrei Ha'ish to Ashrei Kocho Sebo. So Ashrei Ha'ish v'lama rakshu goyim chada parashahi. It's all one parasha. Baruch atah Adonai Elohim melech haolam shehakol nihyeh b'dvaro. Now I'll prove this to you. Because Rabbi Yehuda ben Reva Shimon ben Pazi said, Me'ah v'shalosh parashiyot amar David v'lo amar hallelujah. Incredibly, if you ask anybody what's the most fundamental word in Tehillim, they're always going to say, well, it's hallelujah. But actually, until Parak 104, it never occurs once, which is astounding. So the first time that we find the word Hallelujah appearing is Achira Adem Mapalatan Shavishayma. David did not say that word until he got to the point at which he foresaw the end of evil, of evildoers. Shenema Yitzamu Chatoi Menoret Rushayim Odeinam. And only at that point he said, Borchin Avshiat Hashem Alaluka. Now, I ask you, if you'll take a look in your Tehillim, you will find that Borchin Avshiat Hashem Alaluka said at the end of Tehillah 104, not Tehillah 103. So how do you explain this? Elashma min Ashra Yishvalam Arakshu Goyim Chada Parashai. Obviously, we're missing over here something, because we've split something into two. It's this that we split into. I'll show you why I'm saying it's this one, and I'll explain to you in a minute, but clearly we've got two where there's really only one, and therefore we call 103, 104. Which of the two? It's clearly the first two. The Omer of Shmuel ben Achmini. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Kol parashar shaitach chavival David, patach baba ashrei v'siyem baba ashrei. Every time David really felt special about a piece of poetry that he had written, he opened with ashrei and he ended with the words ashrei. As we see, Patach Ba'ashrei, which is the beginning of Sefer Tehillim, Ashrei Ha'ish, V'siyem Ba'ashrei, which is the last pasuk of Tehillah Beit, Dichtiv Ashrei Kol Choseibo. Now, if it's two separate poems, it doesn't make sense to say he began and ended. Therefore, it's clear that we're taking for granted that it's actually one poem. Of course, as Tosis points out, it's very interesting that every time David liked a poem, that he started with Ashrei and ended with Ashrei, because I guess he didn't like his poetry, since it's the only poem that he ever started with Ashrei and ended with Ashrei. So what kind of crazy statement is that? Every poem that he liked, says he doesn't mean Ashrei. He means that the device of beginning and closing with a concept is what he would always use on things that really he felt very special about. So it doesn't necessarily mean Ashrei. It could mean Hallelujah. We find very often he begins and ends with Hallelujah. Or with Tehillah. Starts with the concept of Tehillah and closes with the concept of Tehillah. Now that's a literary device, but it's a literary device that shows you that I'm talking about one theme that I want you to catch from beginning to end. So it's Chaviva Alav. And therefore we use this as an example. But in any event, in terms of our understanding here, we recognize that in the same way that Shmon Esrei is both Shmon Esrei and Tisha Esrei, because of the Birkat Haminim, which of course has to do with Mapalatan Shorishaim, which is Borchi Nafshi, 18 turns into 19, and so too does 18 turn into 19 in Sefer Tehillim, and close with the words Yul Ratzon. Now, Hanabir Yuni Dehavi Bishvuti De Rabbi Meir. There were these juvenile delinquents in Rabbi Meir's neighborhood. They pulled down the whole Sviva. This used to bother him tremendously. And so Rabbi Meir used to pray for them that they should die. because that would be rachamim to get them out of the world. So I think a boy, Rabbi Meir rachamim alekech delimuta. Omrele Bruria Devita, so his wife Bruria said to him, I understand what the logic is in that. My da'atcha, why are you praying for people to die? I mean, I assume it's because you saw David HaMelech said in his prayers, Yitamu chata'im. Because you're assuming that. David said, these chata'im should drop dead. So you're saying the same thing. Or as Rav Avadi Yosef was quoted as having said, these rishayim should drop dead. The problem is, David never said that. You're not reading the pasuk carefully. What David HaMelech actually said, he never said Yitamu chot'im, he said chata'im. Chata'im implies that which causes chait, maybe lashon of the Yetzer Hara, as Rashi says. So let's get rid of the Yetzer Hara, then there won't be any chata'im. What are you, I mean, if you're going to pray, you might as well pray for the end of evil, not for the end of evildoers, right? So therefore, I would say, I mean, if you take a look at the context, says Bruria, it's clear that that's true, because to say Yitamu chatoim in Ha'aretz Rishoim Odeinam is a little bit, to say the least, the tautology over here. I mean, get rid of all the Rishoim, and then there will be no Rishoim, thank you very much. That's what getting rid of Rishoim means. I mean, we're running around in circles here. Then there will be no Rishoim because you got rid of the Rishoim. So how could it mean Rishoim Odeinam? But the point is that I'm right. Chata'im should be gotten rid of. Then Rishayim Adinam. There won't be any Rishayim, but not that you're dealing directly with the Rishayim. What I would suggest is, boy, Rachmei Aluya Deladr B'Tshuva. What you should do is, be mitpalo for them, that they do Teshuva, which will get rid of the evil, and then Rishayim Adinam, see? So he did that. Boy, Rachmei Aluya, and indeed they did Teshuva, and they all lived happily ever after. Just in case you think that Bruria was a bleeding heart, although anybody who knows anything else about her knows she was no bleeding heart. But we want to know a little other story with Bruria, where some Tzaduki started up with her. And he said to her, now, it says, Roni Akara lo yalada. Let the one who had no children be happy. Does that make sense? I mean, Mishun Delo Yalada Roni, because, I mean, is this the point when you're trying to say Yerushalayim should be Smecha? So you want to mention at that moment, be Smecha, because you're an Akara Lo Yalada, but don't say it. So what does it mean? Amra Lo, you're an idiot. Shatya, what a jerk. Shvila Sefer the Crawford, read the end of the Pasuk, okay? It says, Rabbim b'nei shomimam, b'nei be'ula. Because there are more children to the one who was shomemet all of the years, which was Yerushalayim, that was ki'ilu, a lo yalada, and suddenly discovers that she has millions of children that she didn't even know about, and opposes that to the b'nei be'ula, all of the goyim that have had everything going for them all the years. So that obviously is the context of saying, Roni Akara lo yalada, you Yerushalayim who believed that she was an Isha Akara, had no children, suddenly turns around and discovers that she has a vast nation. But you know why it mentions Akara lo yalada? I'll tell you why. Because we got to remember the good part. A certain kind of people were happy that Yerushalayim never had. Idiots like you! So my akara lo yalada, Rani Knesset Yisrosha, Domali Isha akara shelo yalada, banim legeinam. I mean, what do we need children that go straight to hell for, like you? Omale Yahu Tzeduki le Rebbe Avu. A certain Tzeduki asked Rebbe Avu, you know, I mean, it's clear that Sefer Tehillim was a random collection by some later editor of poems who wasn't very good at editing, because he got everything out of order. I mean, look, clearly, I mean, we have two Tehillim. Mizmor le David beborcho mipnei Avshalom beno. And this, of course, we've mentioned a few times already here in the Masechta, this idea relating of the flight from Avshalom to Avshalom to the idea of Milchemet Gog u'Magog we had earlier. So this is right up at the beginning of Sefer Tehillim, and much later it says. How do you explain that we should wait some 50-some parshiyot before getting to the story of Shaul? I ask you, which one came first, huh? I mean, he clearly, when he was hiding out from Shaul. It was long before he even became king. I mean, so how could we have the story of running away from Absalom first? Michti, my sexual aberration, write it, Bereisha, and organize the work at least. Or Malez, Rabbi Avu told him, Aton de lodar shiton smuchin kashilachu. People like you, who have no sense of structure. So the only structure you could conceive of is the childish flow of time in your own subjective lives. So kashilachu, that to you is a problem. And nan de dar shinon smuchin, but to us, where the structure is a conceptual one, and where something is placed next to something else for a particular reason, to us it's not a problem. How do we know that structure of putting something next to something else conceptually is that order that is more important than chronology? And this is talking about ne'emanim kol pikudav, it says. All the Pikudei HaKadosh Baruch Hu are ne'emanim smuchim la'ad la'olam. So in other words, kol pikudav are emet v'yashar, and as Rashi says, lo davar reik. It's not for no reason. It's the same as the Pikudei Hashem is the structure of the Pikudei Hashem. As a matter of fact, there's a fantastic medrash that says that the reason that we weren't given to understand openly the structure of the Torah is because if we would, we would then be able to know too much. Perhaps do miracles and so on, and that's not a healthy thing. So we need to gradually, I mean, it's true, of course, in terms of nature. As we discover the structure of nature, we end up doing miracles. Certainly the miracles of science, anybody was sworn, are pure and absolute miracles, right? So to the structure of Torah. And therefore, one of the hints that we have is smuchim. What is the reason to put it together with Gog u'Magog? Lama nisvecha parshat Avshalom leparshat Gog u'Magog instead of chronologically after the story of Shaul? Because at Gog u'Magog, what we have basically is a world that turns against God. So in Yom Elcha Adam, the person will say to you, is humanity capable of psychologically proclaiming God to be dead? I mean, it's not conceivable. They always need their gods. Childs need their parents too. These things happen. Okay, so this too will happen, that humanity as a whole would be able to turn against God. My dichtiv. I don't know, people just sit around here and they think this is the most astounding midrashim that have such a profound insights into human history. Right. On Rabbi Yochan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. May dechtiv pia patcha bechokhma v'torat chesed aleshona. So who is he referring to? Shlomo HaMelech talks about the beauty, I mean, what we think is about Eshet Chayil and so on, but Eshet Chayil, we know, is a remez to Torah itself. That is called Eshet Chayil because the Torah is nicknamed B'memchet Varim Chayil as B'memchet. So the power of Kniyat HaTorah is like an Eshet Chayil. We're supposed to relate to Torah as to a woman with love, passion, desire, not the way people are sitting here. So why is it that we talk about the Chochmah of Torah? What particular thing was he referring to if Torah as a whole is all about passion? So what's this particular, it's all about Chochmah. So what's this particular Chochmah? You know who he was thinking about? He was thinking about his dad. Because here's a man, this person responded to five different stages in his life, recognized them as clear-cut stages, and saw each one of them as unique and demanding a different poetic response. The first thing is that even as an embryo, there's something special about that time, as we saw earlier in Nida. Shenema borchi nafshi et Hashem v'chol kiravai et shem kadsho. And when a person starts talking about my innards, it's because he's sensitive to innards. In other words, to a person who is still being supported, you know, on life support systems within someone's body as an incubator recognizes the chashivut of kravai. Yatzala avir olam, when he was born, nistakel bekochavim u'mazalot, he opened up his eyes and saw the universe in which he's in, and was astounded. V'yomar shira. Shenema bocha Hashem malachav giborei koach osei devaro lishmoa bekol devaro bocha Hashem kol tzva'av, which is always a reference to the kochavim and the mazalos, and he saw the constellations and stars, and he sang. Yanat mishidei imo. And then the next stage of his life was dependency on his mother, which he was nursing from her breasts. V'nistakel bedadeh, and he looked at her breasts and he sang about breasts. V'amar shira. Shemar borchi nafshi et Hashem v'al tishkechi kol gimulav. Gimulav, of course, is a play on words. That's gimulav in terms of gimila, which is weaning. So that's the process of nursing. And it also means, in general, all of the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done for me. So what did he see is the common denominator between the Gmulav and his own Gmila. Michael Gmulav, Omer Rabbi Yavusha Asala Dadim de Makom Bina. He appreciated, as an infant, that his mother's breasts were on her chest, as opposed to animals where they're closer down to areas that are not as clean. Shem Avorki Nafshis Hashem Ve'al Tishkri Kol Gmulav. What does that mean? My a child shouldn't be nursing, staring at genitals. A child should not be nursing at a time when he's exposed to unclean areas, to dirty areas. The next thing he saw in his life was Mapalatan Sharishayim, who perceived that Rishut is not sustainable. And then he foresaw death, and he said Shira. What makes you say that's talking about death? My mashbal ayom mita neemar. Omar Rabba Barav Shila, it's the continuation. Tastir panecha yibahelun, tosef rucham yigvaun. So it's a beferish sense of the way that life proceeds through having built in end to particular organisms. Reb Shimi Barukva, I mean Barukva, Avishkiach Kabeda Reb Shimi Ben Pazi. It's either Barukva or was Reb Shimi Barukva, who used to often come to Reb Shimi Ben Pazi, and he was Mesader Agarita Kabeda Reb Yeshua Ben Levi. And he was the one that used to organize the Inyanim of Agarita for Reb Yeshua Ben Levi. So, what is that referring to? Now, he took it to mean that the question was, what's the business of specifically kravai? As we'll see, the focus is on borchi nafshi, not on kravai. But the question was misunderstood. So, omar lei bo re'e, shelo kimat kemidat hakadosh baruch hu midat basar v'adam. If you take a look at the artistic element of creation, in which we perceive beauty, the difference between a human artist and the artistry of creation is in its depth. So in other words, it's possible for a human artist to provide the shapes, forms, and impact of beauty upon the eye, but it doesn't have any depth underneath it. So midat basav adam. So he can be tzar tzara gabei hakotel, okay? You can make a picture. But that picture does not have a billion years of evolution behind it, does it? I mean, eno yakol la'atil baruach neshama kravayim uvdei me'am, there's nothing inside. It's just a picture. It has no depth to it. Whereas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, tzar tzara betoch tzara. Actually, over here, you want to talk about beauty that you'll never see until you develop cameras that can go inside the womb. But for thousands of years, nobody understood this beauty. So you have a beautiful fetus developing inside of an incredibly complex mechanism, and it's all inside of something which is itself beautiful. And inside of that, you've got all of the depth of development. And that's what you call artistry. That's why Chana said, and this is kravai is inside, as opposed to the outside, In Kadosh Kashem Kein Biotecha Ve'in Tzur Ke'elokeinu. Why are you referring to Kadosh Baruch Hu to Tzur? In Tzur means in Sayar. You don't find an artist that is the same level of artistry as life itself, do you? And then it says, Ki Ein Biltecha. What does Ein Biltecha mean? Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Manasya. Al Tikrei Ein Biltecha, Ela Ein Levalotecha. There's another very fundamental issue that defines the difference between human art, human creativity, and creation. Because Shelo Kimidat, Kadosh Baruch Hu Midat Basar Vadam, Basar Vadam, Maasei Adav, Mevalim Oto, basically, art is an attempt to cheat death. So when a person produces something that is beautiful, he touches Netzach. But that's because his art will survive him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevale ma'asav. So the purpose of his art is not self-expression in that sense. And therefore, it's the contrary. The art that's created has no connection to the sense of Netzach, of existence itself. So he said, well, that's a beautiful pshat, but it wasn't what I was asking, quite frankly. I mean, I was asking about Baruch Hinavshi, not about Kravai. I mean, but notice I didn't interrupt. It was okay. So, what I'm asking you is, Ani Chamisha Baruch Hinavshi Keregen Miyamran David. Why does it say five times, basically in a row, between the Tehillah Kuf Gimel and Tehillah Kuf Dalet, we have five times a mention of Baruch Hinavshi. The truth is we don't really. We have four times a mention of Baruch Hinavshi and two times a mention of Baruch Hu Hashem. But in the context of the Tehillot, we see it as five stages, as we said earlier. We talked about five stages. So why was he talking about his soul? Why was the soul the essence? I mean, why not just Beirachti or Borchi? I mean, what's the sense of soul particularly? Because David HaMelech sensed that the closest perception that we can have of the nature of existence is our own existence. And the way we view our existence as opposed to our life is what we call neshama. It's that which emerges from the fact of our physical life. So therefore he said, look, Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Melo Kol HaOlam Af Neshama Mleyat Kol HaGuf. This is such a fundamental tehillah in terms of Kabbalah. In the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the world, your neshama fills your body. Because there's no particular element of your body that's alive. It's alive only because it's an organism and has within it that emergent property which we call life, which now turns back and gives chiyas to the body. Can you see your mind? Can't even see your mind. Certainly don't perceive. You see the fact that you exist because it's your existence that's aware, but it's not something that you can see from outside. Either you experience it directly or you don't see it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is precisely the same way. It's just what is. It's not what's seen. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zan et kol olam kulo. Af nishama zana et kol aguf. The same way that the universe itself is basically filled with what energizes it. And that is something that we have absolutely no matter. All we talk about is once it exists, how does it function? But whatever it is that is making it exist, we have no sense of that. So too, the nishama is zonet kol aguf. Even though we can't say what particular element is life. We know that if we stop this, we'll stop life. If we stop that, we'll stop. It doesn't mean that we say that life is the beating of a heart, obviously. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tohor, Af Neshama Tohora, in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kivayachol, untouchable by any of the elements of the world directly. Af Neshama Tohora, the Neshama is also, in a sense, above and beyond the touchability of the world. You cannot sully it. Ma Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'Chadrei Chadarim, Af Neshama Yoshevet B'Chadrei Chadarim. And in the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is isolated, in a sense, as if it's disconnected from the world, the neshama is isolated as if it's disconnected from the elements of life. Yavo mi sheyesh bo chamisha dvarim alalu, v'yishabeach l'mi sheyesh bo chamisha dvarim alalu. Therefore, borchi nafshi, because it's only my neshama that can tell the brochas that I am now saying. It's not my intelligence that could have said this. Omar of Amnuna Maidach Siv, mi ke'achacham, hu mi odea pesher davar. What was meant by saying, and who is like the wise man who can find a compromise in something that seems to be so difficult? That's referring to Mikat Kadosh Baruch Hu, she'odea lasot pshara ben shnei tzadikim, ben Chizkiyo v'Yishayo. There was a lot of tension between Chizkiyo and Yishayo. And Chizkiyo, when he was really out of touch with Yishayo, Chizkiyo held that the Malchut is something that doesn't chase after Nevi'im, and he felt, Laita Yishayo Gaboy, if Yishayo has something to say, let him come. But what am I supposed to run after him? I mean, after all, Eliyahu went to Ahav. Now, Ahav was a bum. I mean, I'm not a bum. So why can't the Navi come to me if Eliyahu Navi was willing to go to Ahav and give him covet? Yeshayahu, on the other hand, Yeshayahu Navi says, you know, Chizkiyahu should actually come to me because Yehoram ben Ahav goes to Elisha to find out what's with him. So when it's something that is personal, you make yourself, so to speak, the Talmud of the Navi. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do in order to get the two of them together? He makes Chizkiyahu sick. And then he told Yeshayo, okay, there's nothing wrong with being Mevaker Chayla, is there? Go be Mevaker Chayla. So Yeshayo can now go to be Mevaker Chole. Lech Mevaker Ata Chole. Shenema bayamim ahim chala Chizkiyo lamut. Vayavo elav Yeshayo ben Amotz HaNavi. Now, the truth is that this is a little bit strange because Yeshayo didn't come to Chizkiyo to be Mevaker Chole. He came to Chizkiyo to tell him that he's dead and that God has been gozer mavet on him, and that was a particular shlichut that had nothing to do with Bikur Cholim. Why does the Gemara pretend that this has to do with Mikeh Chacham u Miyodeh Pesha Davar? What's more is that the solution to Chizkiyo's death, Chizkiyo felt, was in bridging the gap between himself and Yeshayo through marriage. Which is interesting. So in other words, it's clear that there's something to do with the nature of that, the finding of a Pesha Davar that provided Chizkiyo with his way out, and that provided Klal Yisrael with misery in the form of Chizkiyo's children, who were the most vicious, worst Malachim that we had. But in any event, so Yishayo ben Amoz sent him, Vayomer Elav, Ko Amar Hashem Tzav Lebetcha Ki Meit Ata V'lo Tichyeh. Better write your will, because you're dead. And you're not going to survive. I mean, usually when people are dead, they're not going to survive. I mean, so Mikey meta tavolo tichyeh. And I should imagine if somebody's dead, he won't be alive. No, he means meta tavolo olam hazeh velo tichyeh olam haba. Means you're not only dead in this world, you lost your olam haba. So Chizkiyahu says to him, whoa. My kulei hai, what's this about? Amalei mishum dala sakta bepiriyah verivyah. You never had children. You need to know how he managed. What Adkedekach, his personal private things, you got to know about. But actually, he was. We'll see that he was looking for a wife in a moment. What do you mean? I can't have children. I saw in Ruach HaKodesh, I'm going to have rotten children. So what do I need to bring rotten children into the world for? So Yeshayo says to him, listen, your children are your productions. Children are children. As far as what happens to them, that's none of your damn business, basically. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. History is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's business. You have your business. Your business is to stick to mitzvahs and to do what you can do. You have a mitzvah period of Arivia? Go get married and have children. And whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do with those children, that's his business. The fact that you don't like it, your role was not given to you to like or dislike. Omar Leh, so he said to him, okay. Then I have an idea. Why don't you give me your daughter to marry? Havli Bartach, give me your daughter. And, I mean, after all, you believe it doesn't matter, right? I mean, so if it doesn't work out, that's not a problem. And on the other hand, I mean, between the two of us, we've got some schuyot. So maybe the schutz of Yeshayahu HaNavi and Chizkiyahu HaMelech together will provide a change in our children. So Yeshayahu says, well, you know, maybe it would have been a good idea, but you're dead, remember? You forgot. I mean, what are we talking about marriage for? Kiss it all goodbye, honey babes. I'm like, Ben Amos, listen here, Ben Amos. Kalei Nevuach, did you finish? Did you finish your Nevi'ahs? Your job is over? Thank you. Out. I have a Kabbalah from my grandfather. My great-grandfather was David HaMelech. David HaMelech also got a message like that, basically.
What?
Yeah, of course, a relative. I am a Mekubal from my Yudah. Obviously, I have no Shaykhus to the Malchus. I mean, my Beit Avi Abba over here is in terms of David HaMelech and his Achrayut, which you apparently don't share. I mean, that is when David HaMelech saw the Malach Hashem with a sword in his hand coming out to destroy over Yerushalayim and the Mokam HaMikdash. So what did he say? All is lost. He immediately started to pray and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have Rachamim and to take it away. So wait, you're more than that? You're not more than that, so you're a threat. I will deal with the threat. Thank you. Goodbye. I have things to do. So, even if a man's got a sharp sword across his neck, which is what David HaMelech saw, he'll throw up your hands and say it's all over. There's no such thing. Itmar Nami, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Domer Tarvayu, Afilu Cherev Chada, Munachat Atzavaro Shel Adam, Ayimna Atzmo Min Rachamim, never give up and never feel that it's wrong to do whatever you can to change the relationship that brought about this situation. Shenema Hein Yikteleni L'Rayachel. As God is shifting me, all of my hope is to Him. So I mean, this is certainly not worse than that. Amar Rabbi Chanan, what? What? You don't want to be samech on me.
Okay.
We'll see how much time we have. Amar Rabbi Chanan, what do they call this? The blockbuster stuff, you know. Amar Rabbi Chanan, afilu ba'ala kalomot, omer lo la'adam, l'machar umeit, ayim na'at zvam n'arachamim. I said, Rabbi Chanan, even if the Bala Chalamot tells a person, tomorrow you're dead, you should still pray. Shenemar ki barova chalamot v'havalim, dreams, prophecies, it's all nonsense, dvorim harbe, ki et elokim yirah, the thing to do is to fear the Lord. So what does Chizkiyahu do? He turns aside from Yeshayahu as if he's not there. Miyad v'yasev Chizkiyahu panav al akir v'yitpalel al Hashem. He turns his face to the wall, dismisses Yeshayahu and starts to pray immediately. Now, the question is, just for a moment, what is this Bala Chalamot? Because it's a little bit strange. I mean, we just got finished talking about, even if a Navi is talking about, he's saying, if you a Bala Chalamot, who the heck is a Bala Chalamot? So there's some who learn, the Marsha included, that the meaning of Bala Chalamot is saying, even if all you had was a dream that could have been coming from God knows what ridiculous sources, even that is enough to ask, get a person to pray. I mean, this is the other end of the story. It's not connected to the even if you've lost hope, right? But even if you have a reason to be upset and to worry, you should immediately be mevakesh rachamim. And that's a very interesting pshat. Okay, there's other approaches. There's a Kabbalah from Megra that they a nevius in terms of a dream that talks about lamach, or that is short term, is meant to be taken seriously. If it's long term, you know, it's all Nostradamus, and who cares? I mean, anything happens long term. But if something is immediate, so the person should respond to it as having some meaning. Anyway, why did he turn to the wall? Is it my kir? What's the meaning of Vayasif Yitzio, but ever like kir? Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, it means mikirot libo. He turned to the insides of his own heart. In other words, he brought out his deepest feelings and concerns. Shenemar, may I ochila. My inside, my guts, I'm pouring out. Kirot libi, this is why we're saying this, kirot libi omali is what it says. So that means the insides of my heart are that which speaks out in tefillah. Reblevi omer aliske hakir, it's the asek of walls that he was talking about. He said to Ribono shel Olam, you know, there was a woman, Isha Shunamit, all she did was she made a little wall, kirachat ktana, and because of that, hecheyeta et bina, you actually, when her child died, you went ahead now, and Elisha gave him life. So avia ba shechipata echal kulo bekesev ubezahav. Alakat kama v'kama, forget about a little wall. I mean, my grandfather built the Beit HaMikdash, covered everything with gold. That's not a little wall. That's a man who dedicated his life to building your house. So for sure, you should remember me to be Mechaya me, and I'm not even dead yet. Zechor na et asher talachti b'fanecha be'emet u'b'leib shalem v'atov b'inecha asiti. Remember how I've been walking in front of you in truth with a full heart, doing what it is that you felt was good. What does that mean? Doing what you felt was good. In other words, it's not something that is clearly good to everybody. Right? Atov b'inecha asiti means there were some risks that I took or things that I figured out are good. And they were tov be'enecha. You felt they were good. Might have been a lot of people didn't feel they were good. Or people didn't realize that they were good. Now, what are those things? What is he referring to? Now, on the surface, Rashi says earlier that this is really the reason that we've had this whole story here, since it doesn't connect to anything. Why are we suddenly in the middle of the story of Hizkiyo? How did we get there? Because what it is that he's mispoem, mikirot libo, is that he was sashtamach gula l'tfilah. He was aimed on the necessity of smichut gula l'tfila. Rabbi Levi says, I did something that you thought was good, but nobody else did. I was gonez sefer refuot. There used to be a sefer which people could be osek in to get themselves well. So it was a whole body of knowledge about medicine, which he hid. Because people relied on medicine as opposed to praying, and he thought that it's just too much. So he hid the Sefer Refuot, and all these cancer patients are screaming and yelling, but he's claiming, Hatov Beinecha Asiti. That's the way most of Mefarshim read. Of course, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos has his own approach, which is so classically Rambam. He says, he learned the Sefer Refuot, because the Sefer Refuot included in it many elements of dealing with poisons. So that was a big thing in those days, as you know. Anybody who's read Dune knows how important poisons are, you know. So because of that, people could learn too much about poisons from it. So he figured it's better to hide the whole book, because as long as you're reading about the refuah, you also learn about the maka. Tana Rabbana. Actually, Shishad Varim Asach Hizkiyo Amal. Hizkiyo did six rather brazen things, and three of them, the Chachamim agreed with him. Three of them, they didn't agree with him. And when he's referring, talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Hatov be'enecha asiti, the risks that I took, I did what was right in your eyes. And what is he referring to? Al shlosha hodilo, there were three things that he did that the Chachamim agreed with. One is the one we just read. Gamnaz sefer refuot v'hodulo. The other thing he did, which was unbelievable, is that he ground up the Nachash HaNechoshes of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now this is like, oh my God. I mean, this is the big thing, you understand? This was the thing that saved everyone in the Midbar, and he comes and he grinds it up. I mean, so it says, because ki ad yamav ayu mekatrim lo v'karulo nechushtan, they had turned it into an Avodah Zarah. If it's an Avodah Zarah, as far as I'm concerned, it's a piece of garbage. Burn it, throw it out, it doesn't mean anything to me, right? So, as the Gemara in Chulin said, I understand. I mean, he's the first guy that went out to destroy Avodah Zarah. Look how many Malachim went out to destroy Avodah Zarah. All of a sudden comes along Mr. Chizkiyo after centuries of burning Avodah Zarah, and he's decided. Brilliant. Okay, so this is a tremendously gutsy thing to do. And he went ahead and did it. And they said he was right. The other thing that he did was Girer Atzmot Aviv al Mita shel Chavalim. When Achaz died, instead of making a grand royal funeral for him, he dragged his body out on a very simple stretcher and they put him into the grave. Why? Because his father was a Russian. He didn't want people respecting Rishas. It was part of his whole tshuva. And even on that, Hodula. Actually, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin he did it so that his father would have a kapara. Here it doesn't mention that. There were three things that they did not agree to him. One of them was, this is something that our tour guides live with all the time, Ad Hayom, Satam Megichon. He was the one who closed off the Gihon, made the famous underground tunnel to bring the water into Yerushalayim and so on, and he wanted to make sure that an enemy that was in place around the walls of Yerushalayim would not have a water supply. V'lo hadulo, they held that was wrong. Katzatz daltot ha'echal v'shigreim l'melech Ashur. Furthermore, he was the first one for disengagement. He took off the doors from the Heichal and he said, look, well, we need doors from the Heichal that are made out of gold. Better we should have the Heichal. So he sent the doors of the Heichal as tribute to the king of Asher to prevent the defeat of Yerushalayim. V'lo hudulo. They didn't agree that that was the correct move.
How could he daven with the schus of Abba who built the doors and the ones that the weekend went? But now they're coming in the tomb, but...
Not if he held it was right. Iber Nisan b'Nisan v'lo hodulo. Not only that, but after it was already Nisan, he decided because of a problem of Tum'ah that year, that it had to do with, it was the whole war with Sancheret, people would be Tameh. So he said, okay, you know what, let's make it Adashi. We'll have Pesach later, by that time everyone will be taught. Problem was, it was already Nisan. It wasn't really Nisan, because that's the Gemara. I mean, that's a Beferish Apostle. You can't do that. You can't turn arbitrarily non-Nisan into Nisan. So what did he do? Oh, Ta'ab de Shmuel. The Omar Shmuel, in Abrimat Hashana b'yom shloshim shel Adar. Once it's already the 30th of Adar, you can't now be Makadish to Chodesh, Richie, and turn it into Rosh Chodesh Ador Sheni. Fascinating, we should be learning this today. Huh? You cannot turn it into Rosh Chodesh Ador Sheni because it's too late. You should have thought of that before. Because since it's already a day which is Ro'i to be Nisan, had this not been the Chodesh Mo'uber, you can't change it and say, wait, you still got another day. So we call this the last day of Adar, and now we'll turn tomorrow into the first day of Nisan. So we still got time, right? And that Shmuel says you can't do that, because it's already Ra'ui to be Nisan today if the Chodesh is not Mo'uber. And therefore, he held Ho'il v'Ra'ui. What do you mean it's Ra'ui? Is it Nisan yet? It's the last day of Adar. Why can't we still decide that it's then tomorrow is going to be Rosh Chodesh Adar Sheni? That he did wrong, and they weren't in agreement with him. Om Rabbi Yochan Mishum Rabbi Yezi Ben Zimra Kol HaTolah B'Zchut Atzmo Tolin Lo B'Zchut Acherim V'Kol HaTolah B'Zchut Acherim Tolin Lo B'Zchut Atzmo. So a person who mentions how great he is, when he gets what he's asking for, it's made clear to him, you ain't so great after all. But someone who's taller in other people's greatness, when he's given, on the contrary, it's given to him. So let's take a look at Moshe. Moshe, when he was Mevakesh Rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu after the Maisa Ego. So what did he say? So he didn't mention himself and how great a leader I am and in my schus. He said, remember the Oveis. So what happens? Tolulo b'skut atzmon. The Torah, it says, God had intended to destroy Klal Yisrael lulei Moshe b'chiro amad b'peretz lefanav, if it was not for his great chosen Moshe who stood there and fought it out with him. Okay, so apparently it's not because of the schus of Avram Yisrael Yaakov. It says over here it's because of Moshe. Moshe ein kein, Chizkiyahu, who was told of the schut atzmo, because he says, Zechorna atasher talakti lefanecha, remember me. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu remembers, he doesn't remember he. Because Tololo b'schut acherim, Shinemar, the ganoti el ha'ir hazot lo shi'ah, his response to the tefillah of Chizkiyahu, Lugabi Sancheirav, was, yes, I will indeed save this city, but not for you. L'ma'ani u'l'ma'an David Abdi. It's in the schus of David. V'aynu. The Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, actually, this is what Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi pointed out in a drush of the Pasuk. My dechtivi, neile shalom mar li mar. It was a letter of peace, but very bitter. What is he referring to? Hafilu b'sha'ashi shiger lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom. Even when he got the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu of peace in our times, it was not a happy message. Marlo was a bitter message, because it went out of its way to attribute that peace, like a slap in the face. Don't think it has something to do with what you said about remembering how great you are. Then, since we've mentioned now the kirot libo, which were a remez to the kirot of the Shunamit, what were those kirot? So she says to her husband, why don't we make him a wall? Kir ktana. What does that mean, make a wall? I mean, if you're going to add a room, you can't just make a wall. So what is she referring to? So Rav Shmuel say, Chadomar aliyapua haita vikirua. Kir in the sense over here means to provide a roof on a second floor where she already had building rights and the walls were up. So she said, okay, let's put on a korah, korat gag. Let's put a top on it. So that way we'll have an attic and he can stay in the attic. And the other man, the Yomar, says actually it was an achsadra gdola haita. It was actually a porch that had already been enclosed. And what they did was they built a wall in the middle of the porch so that part of it would still be a good porch.
According to Rashi, the first shot that was this kirua, Rashi said already had a ceiling, and kirua means they put, and was prua, prua means already had a ceiling, they put walls around it.
Okay. It's a good shot too.
That's Rashi.
I know. There's the shilas I have to choose, don't I?
Yeah.
But that's a good shot too, absolutely.
Because Rashi said kirua meant that...
I know what I said. This is an alternative shot. I mean, the advantage of Rashi is that it's a reference to Kirat Libo, which is... It makes it more clear why it's one Kir Ketana, whereas the Hecha was Mechupas, and why it's not a reference to the roof of the Hecha, it's a reference to the walls of the Hecha. The other man, the Amar, says... We don't know who it is, but Chadomar, that the meaning of it is actually a simple wall that was put between two parts of an achsadra. So the meaning, the mandiyam, so Bishleim and the mandiyam, it's an achsadra, that explains why it's a wall. But according to the mandiyam, that's an aliyah, why do you say it's a kir? Where's the wall? So the answer is shikiruhu, that we provided, as Aaron just told us, that we provided a wall for the open areas. Or shikiru, that we covered it. Bishleim lamandiyomer aliyah haita. It says aliyat kir ktana. So that makes sense. But lamandiyomer achsadra. Why do we call it the aliyah? It's not an attic. According to you, it's just a porch. It's a closed porch. It means aliyah means the best. It doesn't mean the attic. Aliyah means mi'ula shebebatim. What the sochnut would have you believe. V'nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'kisei u'mnora, and let's furnish it just with the basics, you know, a bed, a writing table with a little chair, and a lamp. Omar Abayi v'item Rav Yitzchak, ha-rotze le'anot ye'aneke Elisha. V'she'ena rotze le'anot ha-yaneke Shmuel ha-ramati. In terms of determining whether you should put yourself in a position of dependency on other people who want to do good for you, look, Elisha was ready to accept this room with all of its furnishings, and he came and he would stay there. So it's clearly, there's nothing wrong with that in certain situations. On the other hand, Shmuel would never go anywhere without bringing a camper with him. He would stay in his camper, and in the camper he had everything he needed. And that was his home. He basically lived in a motorhome. So you see that he didn't want to be dependent on anybody. So if you don't want to be Nana, you can. There's nothing stuck up about that. If you want to come and visit people in your own camper, you can say, I'm a chayshuliyur, I don't want to accept your iruach. Not true. Yeshua Navi did that. Shinema with the Shuvato, Ramataki, Sham Beito, Vermeb Yochan, Shekoma Makom Shalak, Sham Beito. Yeah. Wherever he would go, that was his home. How could it be his own home? He obviously had a Winnebago. But Tomer El Isha. So she says to her husband, Hinena Yadati Ki Isha Elohim Kadosh. I know that this is a holy man. So Rabbi Yisrael Rabbi Chanina, why does she have to tell her husband she knows he's a holy man? I mean, the husband couldn't see he's a holy man. Obviously, a woman has a more intuitive grasp of her guests. She knows who to like and who not to like. But okay, it's one thing to say he's a Isha Elohim. I mean, how does she know he's personally holy? Kadosh minayada. Rabbi Shmuel Chadam Ashlo Rata Zvuv Over Al Shulchano. She saw that wherever he was eating, there were no flies. So clearly, he was emanating this kedusha that flies couldn't be mitkarev to. V'chadamar sadincha pishta nitzia mitato. Others say that there was linen that was very clean, and she never found any stains on it. V'lo rata keri alav. So it must be that this is a man who is very holy. Kadoshu, this means who. Notice it stresses kadosh who. Who kadosh? He is very holy, but don't look at that kid that's with him. It's a disaster. So she picked out right away that Gehazi is not a holy kind of guy. And sure enough, it turns out in the end, Vayigash Gehazi lahotfa, Gehazi came to push her away. And Amr Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, the hotfa is a notrikun. Hadfa is hod yafya, her most beautiful part. So that was, he grabbed her by her breasts, pretending he's just pushing her away. So she knew what kind of guy he was. Over alav tamid, Reb Yosef Reb Chaim Mishum Reb Eliezer Ben Yaakov, she's comparing the iruach of a tamid chacham to the korban tamid. Kol ha-me'areach tamid chacham betoch beito, u'me'aneo minechasav, ma'ale alav ha-katuv ki ilu makriv tamidim. It's as if you brought the korban tamid. The Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Mishum Rabbi Loza Ben Yaakov. Al Ya'amod Adam b'makom gavoa v'yitpelel al b'makom namoch v'yitpelel. Shneimar mima'amakim k'raticha Hashem. So a person should always be standing on a low area when he prays. Tanya Nami Archi Lo Ya'amod Adam Lo Agabi Kisei V'Lo Agabi Shrafraf V'Lo B'makom gavoa v'yitpelel. This was a big issue in the German shuls of where they would build the way you have the middle, so they would build it up, you know, like you have in the Menzaka, so we would walk up, and the Shviach Tzibur would stay there instead of going back to the Omud, because that was the minhag in the reform, as was the minhag in the church. So that's one of the big issues. You should be daven.
You do it in Baltimore, you go down.
You don't need to go further down once you're in Baltimore. So it says, be ma'amakim karati chashem. Downwards. Yeah. Uchtiv tvila la'ani ki yatov. So a person should view himself not as a arrogant, standing up there on a bima, but rather he should be standing down on the level of the floor or below. Also, when a person is praying, his feet should be placed together as if they're just one foot. Because the malachim, the person in that moment, stands as if it's a single regel that is placed straight.
I guess the malachim snowboard instead of ski.
You're speaking from bitter personal experience. The other Reb Yossi, Reb Chanina, Reb Shmuel, Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. My dechtiv lo tochlu al hadam. It's mean don't eat bloody. It means lo tochlu kodem shitpalalu al dimchem. Don't eat something before you've davened. A guy who sits, he drinks, he's got his little coffee and his you know, shtickle mizenes, and then he's ready to daven. So alava katuva mer voti shlachta achrei gavecha. Me you throw behind your back. Altikrei gavecha ela geecha means you throw me behind your arrogance. Amar Hakadosh Baruch Hu la'acha shenitga ezeh. After this guy has managed to take care of all of his profound personal needs, now he comes to be Makabal of Malka Shamayim. I mean, after all, you know, you gotta keep first things first. I understand the guy. Get him out of here. Om Rabbi Yoram HaShmuel. Allah, Rabbi Yoshua Omer Ad Shalosh Sha'ot. Om Rabbi Yoram HaShmuel Halachak Rabbi Yoshua. That the Tfilat, Kriyat Shema is okay until 3 hours in the day. HaKorei Mikan Ve'elach Lo Hifsid. But from then on, it's like reading in the Torah. You cannot say the Birchot Kriyat Shema at that point. What? It's beferush in a brayta, not like that. That even though we're calling it in the Mishnah Kilu Korei BaTorah, you could still read Birchot Kriyat Shema, even though you won't be Yotzei Kriyat Shema. To Yufta, to Rav Chista, you're right, to Yufta, boy, that's wrong, he's wrong. Can't be more wrong than that. Now, the implications of why he's wrong, that already is a very serious machloket that has vast implications. Because some learn he's wrong because the dinim of Birchot Kriyat Shema are subsidiary to Tefillah. And even though we have them surrounding Kriyat Shema, they're part of Tefillah, as we spoke about the Smichut of Geula leTefillah. But if that's true, then the implication is that they're kosher as long as Tefillah is kosher, which means you've got another hour, basically. Okay, so if you can daven until 4 hours in the day, you could say Birchot Kriyat Shema until 4 hours in the day. But you certainly can't go beyond that. The Rambam says that the dinim of the Birchot Kriyat Shema can be said any time during the day, which the Kesef Mishnah says implies that the Rambam holds that Zman Kriyat Shema is any time during the day. And it's just the Rabbanan who said, okay, let's stick Dafka to Ad Shalosh Sha'ot. However, that's because he's making an assumption. His assumption is that the Birkot Kriyat Shema are linked either to Kriyat Shema or to Tefillah. Since it can't daven all day long, because it's after Zman Tefillah, the only other explanation is that really Zman Kriyat Shema is Kol Hayom. Of course, it gives us all kinds of problems about how to understand the Kikorei Batorah, if that's the case. Others learn, as we'll see, that the, and I've already hinted at a number of times before, that there is a relationship between Kriyat Shema and Limud Torah itself, and this Mishnah is clearly indicating that. And it's so important that the Kori Kriyat Shema, Babokru, Be'erev, is sufficient to be Yotze, V'higita, both Yomam V'Laila, so that there's a direct connection to Torah, and we're going to see later on that you can actually be Yotze, the Birkot HaTorah, if you say Birkot Kriyat Shema. Therefore, somebody who didn't say Birkot HaTorah before saying Shema in the morning has got a problem because he was already Yotze by saying the Birkot Kriyat Shema. But if that's the case, then the Brachot are Kavua neither on Shema nor on Tefillah, but may exist somewhere out there in their own space in terms of their relationship to the broader sense of Shema's relationship. So again, we'll talk about this tomorrow in our Halacha review, but this Tiyufta, Rav Chista, is not just a simple idea. We've got to figure out why he was wrong. Because certainly on the surface you would say, look, I mean, if the Mishnah is saying it's too late to say Shema, but you're not Mafsid, I mean, so, but of course it only means it's Korei Batorah, you can't say Birkas Kriya Shema. Certainly if you think that Birkas Kriya Shema are Brachot on Shema, like a Birkot on Mitzvah, I mean, so how can you say the Brachot Kriya Shema? That's what Rav Chista apparently took for granted. If I'm not going to be Yod to the Mitzvah, how can I say the Bracha? Tanya, so do you have to request you have Ikari Amina, others say that in fact it was Rav Chista himself who suggested that the meaning of Akore Mikan Ve'el Lo Yifsik is precisely that. Ikri Amram Rav Chisdom Amar Rukva. My lo hifsid means you think that it's too late. You've already lost out. You didn't lose out on the brachot. You could still say those brachot. Lo hifsid brachot. Tanya Nami Ochi. In this version, the Braita, which previously was a Tiyufta to Rav Chisda, here is brought as a Raya to Rav Chisda, that HaKorei Mikan Velech Lo Yivsid, Ki Adam Shekorei BaTorah, Ava Mevarech Ushtayim Lefanah V'yachat LaHakareha. Omer Rabbi Moni Gadol HaKorei Kriyat Shmami Ba'onata, Yoter Me'osek BaTorah. Somebody who reads Kriyat Shema in its correct time is greater than someone who's being Osek B'Torah. Now, Tosfos says, don't think that this means that it's Nogea, the halacha of Bitul Torah, because the truth is that we would be posek anyway for a mitzvah that is B'Shaita, and it doesn't prove that it's greater. It's just what you got to do. Otherwise, you could say the fact that I have to be posek to do a mitzvah, which would be any mitzvah, is gadol from Osek B'Torah, but which says the opposite, it's connected kulam. I mean, so clearly it's not in terms of its value, it's just there's different dinim. What it means over here is something else completely. It's talking about the concept of the chashivut of what you're doing, which on the surface doesn't make any sense, because if you're being korei kriyat shma bizmana, so you have two things. You're being Osek B'Torah and you're reading kriyat shma. So what, you have somebody, I need somebody to tell me that two is better than one? Ah, but notice that he says, Osek. Osek, you're terming Osek B'Torah. Because what it says over here is Ka'adam HaKorei B'Torah. Kriya B'Torah is not equivalent to Osek B'Torah. But so then how does it derive it from here? Aha. Put that in your pipes and smoke it. Bichlal de Korei B'Onata Adif. And as Rashi says over here, Kibul schar ke osek b'Torah. So in other words, there's something about reading Kriyat Shema that is more than simply saying psukim. And we're getting closer in, we're zeroing in to a special relationship between Shema and Limud HaTorah. Of course, all of the dinim of Limud HaTorah and uschayev in Limud HaTorah and so on are all derived from the Limud HaTemesam and all of the which are a chelik of the mitzvahs listed in Kriyat Shema. So it's not coincidental that that's how we relate to Kriyat HaTorah and Shema. Sorry.